You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 40.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Ahoy, ahoy. Welcome to V for Vertigo and One Man's Journey into the World of All Things Vertigo Comics. Because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark Johnson, and this week's review will be about Lucifer Exodus by Mike Carey and Peter Gross. I could probably do that over again, but I'm too bloody lazy. I blame the cough drop in my mouth. My throat has been acting up. I have been sick for the past couple of days, so go figure. Now, this will probably be a short show, because I got a new video game, and I really want to go play it. I got Dragon Age Origins for the 360 last weekend, and thanks, Alex. I'm really into it. I'm like 17 hours in, give or take. Maybe more. I have died a lot. Reloaded. It's a bit weird. This is my review for Dragon Age. I think Rob wanted to know how I was enjoying it. Why everyone else and their mother is fucking playing Modern Warfare 2. Enjoy that shit. I'll be playing Dragon Age. Or they're playing Borderlands. It goes Modern Warfare 2, Borderlands... what's another game? Uncharted, that was like 2 weeks ago, so that's old. Yeah, it's just those two games. And then way below is like Dragon Age, maybe. Sometimes I see people playing. So, Dragon Age is my first BioWare game. I didn't have a box, so I didn't play KOTOR. I didn't get Mass Effect, because I just don't feel sci-fi... games, and the loading times I heard were a bitch, so yeah. I didn't play Baldur's Gate or whatever else they did. I don't even know what they did. Oh, Jade Empire. I didn't have a box. I wasn't playing that shit. So this is my first game, and I must say, you know, if you've seen me tweet about it, I'm on the one hand, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. On the other hand, I hate this fucking game. I don't know what to start with first. Alright, first of all, the game, I played approximately 17 hours. Half of it I spent talking. Half of it I spent in combat. If that. I'm just being generous. If it's half. So I've been talking to other characters. I don't know, this is my first thing, like... When it comes... I've played RPGs before. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a noob. And you can't be a noob while playing this game. I'm not a noob. But I've never played WoW. And the shit is overwhelming here. Let me get back to my problem I have. I like it, the talking. But if I want to play this for a second or third time, which I probably do, or will, assuming... I think I'm going to be getting Metroid Trilogy for Christmas. I don't know if I can handle the talking. It's weird. This is my first talking game, because normally I'm watching cutscenes. But most of the time, it's text. I read really fast, and you can always skip text. You hit the button again, then it goes a little triangle. Hit it again. It's great. Or just hold the button, and it'll skim through everything. So I don't know how I'm feeling that the talking, it's alright, but it does eat up a lot, and I swear, so I'll spend an hour or two in a dungeon or doing a quest, and then I'll spend an hour or two talking to people, maybe a little more. It feels like a little more, because I explore stuff, and I try to talk to everybody, and I don't try to do every quest, but yeah, so that's... I don't know how I feel about that, but let me get back to how hard this fucking game is. Now, I'm playing on normal, but normal feels like Beautiful Joe. And for those of you who have played Beautiful Joe, there were two settings for Beautiful Joe. There were kids and adults. And most of the idiots chose adults because they thought, oh, kids must be easy. Adults must be normal to little hard, a little bit hard. In reality, Beautiful Joe was hard, super hard. I don't know how the other standings are, but normal is hard. I have no idea. I've talked this with my friends who have played BioWare games before. They say that the combat in the other games aren't as difficult as here, and I'm like, why is this so difficult? I mean, you got four characters. It's a tough fight when you're outnumbered 5-4, and generally you're outnumbered 10-4. And that may or may not include a boss. If it's a boss, maybe just be outnumbered 6-8-4. It's rough, man. I'm getting my ass kicked. I'm kind of getting the hang of it now that I got to pay attention to the other characters and then make sure they don't die and then I can heal them. But it took a while to get that. And it took a while for me to... Oh, what the hell? It took a while for me to get a hang of the controls, because to do shit, you gotta be like, left trigger, right? Say I want to select the potion or do a spell. Left trigger, use the left joystick to do something. A, if I forget what it was, then hit X, but if I'm not, and that's may or may not include switching characters, which is like left bumper, right bumper, and all of this holding left trigger and pressing the other buttons, so. But the combat, man, it needs a little bit polish. It needs to be a little slightly easier. I don't know how to do traps yet, but I'm going to try to learn, have one of my characters, because, man, I can handle one group of enemies, but sometimes you just go into rooms and you'll be like, I know as soon as I open this door there will be enemies. That's just fine. But it goes a bit further than that. It goes, as soon as I open this door there will be enemies, and look, there are other doors that the enemies open themselves. Oh, look, instead of facing one group of enemies, I am facing three, maybe four. On average, 2-3. You know, alright. I'm gonna get my ass kicked. It's bad enough I'm rocking the boat. Which, what I am learning... Actually, you know what? Let me go back. Okay, I'm not played WoW before, so the combat kind of bugs me. Not that it's hard, but... It's you stand there, you hit a character, do magic or whatever, and then they hit you back. Well, in this case, he plus two or three other characters hit you back. But one-on-one, you hit them, they hit you. You hit them, they hit you, or you may miss, they may miss, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I hate that because it seems so fake. It's like my mind is like, all right, we're going into combat. Why are they standing there and taking it? Why am I standing there and taking it? It seems very awkward. It's very WoW-ish. It looks like WoW. Some people are complaining about the graphics. I'm like, looks fine to me. I don't really care about the graphics. But the combat looks like how I've seen all my friends play WoW. It's just one of the turnoffs. It reminds me of why I hate the combat in Final Fantasy type games. Well, you have three or four characters and you just hit attack, attack, maybe a magic spell, healing spell, attack. And then they all go up and hit and then the bad guy takes it and then they come back. This is my first real-time strategy. I mean, Grandia was almost real-time, but not quite. But the real-time is interesting aspect where I'm like, hurry up, clock. Come on, clock! Fucking get on ready, clock! But the standing there and taking it annoys me. My favorite RPG combat are the strategy RPGs. I love them because they're hard. The computer always goes after your mage or archers, and there's not a thing they can do about it, and your healers, and they gang up on them and they kill them. But my favorite is probably Fire Emblem, because if your characters die, you're screwed. And not to mention there's reinforcements occasionally for you, but mostly for them. And you've got to use the terrain to your advantage, which is the most interesting, which RPGs for the most part never do. But in Fire Emblem, it's like, I have the high ground, Anakin, don't do it. And in Fire Emblem, you'd be like, you can't do it because you'll miss every time. And then the most important thing about Fire Emblem is if a character can attack you, they will attack you. So, if you attack a character, And they can attack you. They will smack you back. So that already hurts you, and then characters die. But you don't get that here. You get the standing still motion, which is kind of meh. All right. Another thing I thought could use work is the menu items, the inventory. First of all, you don't hold enough. I just bought a backpack, so I upped my thing, but that costs all my gold. Okay, you don't get enough gold for everything, and you can't hold enough. And there's no, like, caravan storage area, so you might have to sell some of that stronger shit until you can get it back and use it, or hold on to it. But the problem I have is, well, I kind of like the fact that I picked some of the armor, costumes, whatever, based on what they would look like, because they change. Like, I got a guy all knighted up in armor and shit when he wasn't like that before. That's cool. But there should be an optimization. Like, I can't think of RPG that I played recently. But I have played a couple that there's, like, optimize this, and then depending on, you can optimize it for magic or attacking, and then it automatically do it, and then you go through it yourselves and be like, I don't really want this, even though it's optimal X defense. I'd rather have this item that gives them X, that does all this resistance against magic or something. So that Fire Emblem would be, or Fire Emblem, Dragon Age would be better if it had that. Now, the thing I love most, and I'm finding the most confusing, and why I might play this game a second or third time, is the fact that the choices. I've never played a game where there's so many choices, and they all affect your outcome, and there's, like, an approval waiting for your peoples. Oh, another thing that bugs me, you only play with four people. Strategy RPGs, you play with 8 to 15, probably average 10 to 12, not to mention that you can divide sometimes. You can divide in strategic RPGs, like, there'll be certain parts, normally towards the end, this group goes there. The problem with that is that only your guys that fight gain experience, but they fix that by you get experience after X battle, and then you can divvy it to your guys that didn't do as much work. Which is always cool. That was always the worst part. I remember back in the 16-bit era, like in Shining Force, I would use my mages all the time until they ran out of magic for each battle. And then when I got the battle down to imaginable, there's only two or three guys left, I'd have them finish them off or weaken them somehow. The other guys would weaken them and then just use their magic. I'd be like, okay. Fire Emblem, it's a bit tricky because if you guys die, they die for good. But in Shining Force, it was a lot easier. But now with Fire Emblem, it's like, all you guys gain experience. You can divvy them up, which is cool. I wish this game had that. But the four characters bug me. I feel like there should be more, or my character should be stronger. Or let me go back to the choices. So the choices are what gets me. Like, I'm used to games being like, a king is like, do this, this, and this. And they'll give you an answer. Or they'll give you answers like yes or no. And then I will pick no. And then be like, oh, are you sure? No, I'm good. But we really need you to do this. No, that's okay. And then you got it. It's just telling you to hit yes, right? But here it's like you get all these options, and they affect your gameplay a lot. Like, I'm not used to it. It's normally in RPGs, I try to hit every optional thing so I could see the whole story or whatever, or get a feel. I do that in Dragon Age to a certain extent. I always pick the question ones, but then it comes down to, okay, there's three or four ones you should do. Which one do you want to do? I'm like, should I persuade him? Should I kill him? If you see me, I was so excited my first time I did this. There was this prisoner. He was like a deserter, which, you know, is bad enough. And then he was like, give me some food and water. And I was like, what? And then it was like, give him food and water. What's in it for me? Leave him alone. And two other ones I don't remember which. But those were the main ones. And then I was like, what's in it for me? What? I need some food and water. I've been locked up in the days. I wasn't a deserter. I saw this thing. And I was like, no, really, what's in it for me? I give you food and water. And he was like, oh, I got this key. It opens up this chest with some stuff. And then, like, my next option was, like, give him food and water, say no, kill him and take the key. I was like, oh, kill him and take the key. Let's see what that does. I'm fucking, like, gutting him. I'm playing an elvish mage, which I don't suggest. I don't suggest doing the elvish rogue because everyone and their mother's doing it. But starting with the mage is rough because you're trapped up in the fucking tower. And it feels very enclosed. And it's like, I want to do something. I want to get out of here. That's how I felt. You might like it. But anyways, and then I killed him. And then this guy's like, hey, what are you doing here? The guard said that. And, oh, what? You just killed him. You know, you can't do that. And then it has like three more choices. Like, I was like, well, piss off. I'm a great one. All right, I'm going to tell Duncan then. Next time you ask, I guess I'll just stay here since I have nothing to do. He's killed my prisoner. And I was like, this is really cool. So I'm running into more and more of those choices. That's the hook of the game. But you know what? I heard on Mass Effect you can get lesbian relationships. So I kind of wanted my character to be completely evil. But I'm picking a lot more gray stuff towards evil or dark, whatever. Like, I'm picking her traits like me. Like, she's a smart ass, and she's like, what's in it for me? But, you know, she has a tendency to kill people. And then some highlights are, I was trying to get this dwarf to fight and help defend the town or whatever. And then I didn't want to pay him because that was one of the options. But I was thinking, that might cost a lot of money. And then I was like, I persuade him, like, have sex with him. And then he turned me down. And I was like, fuck you. And then I tried to intimidate him. And he's like, oi! And then we fought, and then I killed him. I was like, that's what you get, bitch, for not sleeping with me. But I went to this demon. This is a slight spoiler. I won't name who, but spoiler anyway. Where there's this boy that gets possessed by a demon, right? And then the mom's like, you can kill the boy who was possessed with a demon, which I was tempted to do. But I was like, it's a boy. And then, like, you can kill the mother and go in and kill the demon. Yeah. Or you can go in, not kill the mother. But to do that, I'd have to take longer because I'd have to go to the circle of magi and then come back. And I was like, I'm not really in the mood. I kind of want to be done with this quest. So I was like, I got to the boy. I fought just for experience sake. Did relatively well after getting my ass kicked earlier in that. And then I was like, oh, no, the boy's up there. If I go there, it's going to be a cutscene. I'm going to kill him. All right, and then I decided, after talking to my friend, I was like, I'll go with the demon. Let's go. But I was worried because the demon, I know it'd be a one-on-one fight. And I was like, oh, she's strong enough? Like, against him, the child demon, and I was like, well, I got, it'll be 4-1. If it's 4-1, I think I could do well. But if the boy, like, summons guys, too, then it's like, oh. If it's, like, 4-3 or 4, yeah, the odds aren't in my favor. So then I went to the demon realm, and then I was like, and I saw the demon, and the demon was, like, some hot, hentai-looking chick. Like, all these women are fucking half-naked, by the way, most of them. Oh, no, not. Most of them are, except for the priest type, but then they all got, like, big boobs or something. It's really weird. But, so I went to demon, and then they gave me options. Like, I didn't have to fight the demon. I was like, oh, I expected I had to come in here and kill you. And then it's like, no, no. But then it was like, I'll leave the boy alone for now. And then she said, but years later, I'll take over his mind. I was like, I don't give a shit about the boy. Take over his mind later all you want. He made a bargain. That's fair enough. Now, that's what I was thinking. And then it gave me options. Like, you could be a blood mage, which was my goal all along. Or you could, knowledge, which I don't think that even, and then there's, like, you can have the greatest, like, desire, pleasure, sex. Of course, I chose sex, right? And then the demon was, like, banging on my chick, and then, like, a cutscene away. I was like, oh, that's kind of lame. I wanted more. I need to get laid. I really wanted more, and then, yeah, that was cool, though. But then after I'd done it, like, I had to talk to my night guy, my fellow Grey Warden, and then his approval rating of me hit the shit because I killed the mom. But I saved the kid, at least for now, you know. I wonder what happened if I'd taken the blood magic. I hope to learn it later. That was my goal. I'm only 17 hours in, but that was cool. And then, like, at camp, after he got pissed off at me, I talked to this other chick. I've been building a relationship with her, and then, you know, she likes women. I'm, like, trying to get a little lesbian thing going on there. Yeah. I know, it's like RPG fantasy porn, lesbian porn. I'm enjoying it. I'm trying to get, I mean, I don't want to say I'm making my character a slut. My original plan was her to be atheist or hate God, kind of like me, or religion. That's just why I've not received the blessing. And then the just always pick the kill thing. And that kind of changed. Because I learned that, well, I didn't, oh, let me go back. I didn't want my character to be slutty. It never even occurred to me to sleep with another girl. Even though I never heard about the Mass Effects, Fox News shit, and seen a YouTube clip. It's just like, just the way the relationship developed, I was like, well, she's, why don't I make her, not gay, because she kind of likes women and guys. You know, if I'm dying so much, I might as well get some ass. If I'm dying so much, let me get some ass, you know? Women, guys, and then she got bigger boobs than the character I'm with. Not that I designed her. So. Shit, I completely lost my train of thought before I went on that. Yeah, so. What was I going to say? Who knows? Anyways, I've talked about it enough. I want to play. I'm fucking cutting in my fantasy porn time here. Yeah. So, Jagged Age is good. Is it worth the price I paid? Yeah. I got it for free. Was it worth the $20 I would have paid for it? Yeah. Now, the big question is this game worth $60 if you're interested in it? Ooh, yeah, it's worth $60. Be prepared to be pissed off and be prepared to save a lot. I always have at least 2 saves in video games. And here I have 3 or 4, in case I want to change choices, and for when I get my ass kicked. It's difficult, but... Oh, I remember what I was... No, yeah, I fucking lost it. What was I going to say? No, it came to me, and then I lost it. And I talked about the combat, talked about the controls, I talked about lesbian porn, the difficulty. Okay, I remember. Choices, yeah. So... I learned early on in the game that you can't say kill him and then take his shit. Because that's if you want to get your ass kicked and killed yourself, you do that. I learned that every time. I was like, I disturbed this. I was like, oh man, why? I should have left that old hermit alone. He's powerful, more powerful mage than I am. And it's like, I just get my ass kicked every freaking time. So the way I'm playing it now, instead of being badass elf chick mage who kills everything and has sex with whatever she wants and does what she wants and intimidates people, instead of doing all that, I'm trying to work around. I mean, there are some bosses where you can't work around and you'll just be like, because they're a boss and you have to fight them. No matter what you say, you have to fight them. Trust me, I've died enough on these. You have to fight them. But there'll be these things where you have to get X to do Y. Where you don't have to fight them. And I was like, and I tried, and I died a few times. So, I didn't feel like fighting them. I didn't really feel like fighting a giant tree. When I really killed a crazy hermit guy who didn't kick my ass. Would you like to disturb the gravestone? Always no. You know what? When I get to level 20, I'm going back there. Always yes. Then, I hope it's not one of those, well, it's equivalent to how high a level you are. And whoops my ass again, and I'm like, always no. So, Mark Critic Skull for Dragon Age. I give it a 4 out of 5. Thank you, everybody, and good night. You can come. No, I'm just. Okay. Let's get on to the show, man. I'm fucking dying here.
Vertigo News.
Alright, so the news this week. For those of you in the New York area, I hope you enjoyed Wild Pig Cell. But if you didn't, on November 19th in Brooklyn Zoo at 7 p.m. in the book court, there'll be a link, so don't worry about it. I don't know where that's at either. Kevin Baker and Daniel Zizil I don't, whatever. They'll be discussing Luna Park. So if you want to go meet them, God, I hope they don't read it. You know, there's nothing more boring than a fucking author reading it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what accent you got. Unless your name is Sean Connery, Patrick Stewart, or fucking Captain Sisko, whose real name I'm blanking on. Yeah, I'm really not going to want to listen to you read. Now, story number two is, if you're a big Brian Wood fan, like I am not, I've not read much of him. I don't know. Some people love him or hate him. Now, February 2010 is your year. Or is your month. That would be better. So you might want to order in previews on DCB service right now. Or if you like anniversary issues, whatever. DMZ will have an oversized 50th issue that month. Ooh. Pardonne-moi. With a bunch of artists. Various artists. I guess working on the short stories. I don't know. I really should read DMZ Volume 2 to see if I like it or not. Now, Northlanders will have its 25th issue ending that third arc, I believe. And finally, Demo Volume 2 will start. I have no idea what that is. Yeah, there you go. That's it. That is it for the news!
And now it's time for the rundown.
Now, like I said before, I'm covering Lucifer Exodus by Mike Carey and Peter Gross. Now, the first story is about the last trade, Yahweh's departure. It's caused some serious problems. A couple, as I spelt it, of Titans. Well, a couple. Gramas and Gygas have decided to take his place. The day they use Beatrice, an old waitress of Lucifer's, or as they like to be called nowadays, server, to do it. Now, they wreak much havoc, as one might expect. Lucifer tries to stop them, but can't, because his power was given to him by Yahweh, and they've taken Yahweh's place. The pair of brothers try to go to the Silver City. Lucifer is there to stop him, but can't, nor can he get Michael to help. Now, in the end, they do win by using Beatrice as a conduit and killing them back in time before they're omnipotent. A la some time travel thing that's really heavy. Now, I'm not sure if this is supposed to be a humorous story or not. It does have the hapless Titans trying to take over Heaven and Yahweh's place, and they are kind of yuckity-yuck. Hey, brother, what are you doing? I'm this, oh, what, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. However, for all as dumb as they look and seem, they're not as dumb because they plan stuff out. They start to get the hang of omnipotence, and they even make a plan to kill Lucifer in some weird way. They know not to underestimate Lucifer, as he's beaten opponents stronger than him, and there's not many that are stronger. And it's not really about strength when it comes to Lucifer. Now, the problem I had with this story was, I don't remember my Greek mythology. It's very rustic. I know the planets. I think the planets. The planets, are they named after the Titans? No, I don't. Okay, I know less than I remember. But I thought the Titans were defeated by the Greek gods and all killed. Am I right or am I wrong? I remember that. I probably should have looked this up and planned it, but I'm playing far too much Dragon Age. Yeah, their own guts. And coincidentally call him the Maker, just like Lucifer is called the Maker in this series by his people on his world, since there's no worshiping allowed there. Now, so far Lucifer has outwitted and outplanned all his opponents, yet what I find funny is that even though he has his power, which is, you know, he's really powerful and everything, he's not actually strong enough to defeat the Titans here. It's kind of funny because he even armors up and goes in the battle and is about to fight him, but it really is only by dumb luck and feels like a forced plot point that, you know, he does defeat the Titans. Now, speaking of Beatrice, she felt out of place here. and more of a plot device, more so than the Titans who've never appeared in Lucifer before. She was way back in Volume 1, maybe in Volume 2. Even then, only briefly. I think she tried to save Masakine. I don't know. It's not really explained why she's a conduit for the Titans, which I would have loved. Like, why are you special? Why are you here? And she's randomly in love with Masakine. My memory might be shot, but I didn't remember her being in love back when she did try to save them, and then the cards were in the way or whatever. But yeah, she's friends, or she likes and wants to get to know her. It suddenly went from that to the shit I'm doing in Dragon Age with my lesbian RPG sex. Demon sex. Demon and elf, come on! Demon and elf sex! Who doesn't like that? That's hilarious. Really? I'm perverted. I need a girl. I need a girl! Or sex with someone on a regular basis. Now, what's funny is that what's not implied is Masakine, Beatrice, okay, she's quote-unquote in love with Masakine for whatever reason. But working there, I mean, it didn't say how long, but wouldn't she recognize that Masakine's in love with Lucifer? Clearly. Lucifer doesn't leave much imprints on people, but I don't even know. I don't remember if he went by another name or called himself Lucifer. I'm pretty sure he didn't when he ran the nightclub. It might have stood out. I mean, in the end, Beatrice lives and has sex with Masakine, so it's all good. But yeah, she probably should still know that it's all about Lucifer for Masakine, and I really do. I love Jesse and Tulip's relationship, but I really like Lucifer and Masakine's relationship, especially since Lucifer doesn't fucking change throughout the entire series. He's Lucifer. He doesn't need to change. But Masakine's character growth. And I want to say it's here that I feel that she grows. She starts to grow. She has a little bit, but it's more like, oh, well, I need something to do with her. Let's make her the leader of the Lilim. Let's have her revolt Lucifer. But yeah, here is where she starts to grow even more as a character, instead of being angry all the time. So that's good for her. Good for her. And if she was in Dragon Age, I'd probably have sex with her. Or at least my character. Now on to the second story. Well, this is like the Dragon Age podcast, with very little Vertigo talk. Now, let me scroll up. Now, in the second half of the trade, Lucifer wants every immortal booted from his world. Speaking of which, you know, I hate it when... I get why people use the term immortal, but I hate it when they use that term, because in this instance, it's like, they're immortal because if no one fucks with them, they won't die. But clearly, they're not immortal, because if people fuck with them, they will die. Kind of like how people say vampires are immortal. It's like, oh, not really, because they have to have blood. But we'll even say, for argument's sake, that they don't. They can live without blood. They'll just be very weak and pathetic. But then if someone cuts their head off or exposes them to sunlight, or depending on where you're reading, stabs a stake through their heart or dunks them in holy water or have them sparkle. No, I don't know. Depending on that, like, they'll die. So it's like, oh, you're not very immortal if you just died. Like, if you can be cool. But yeah, you know what I mean. So he wants to give everyone the boot so there's not an incident like the Titans. And instead of doing it himself, he gets Elaine Belloc to do it, his niece. Now she chooses her own helpers, consisting of Masakine, her dead friend Mona, who I don't think's dead, but I don't know what to call her. Her goddam. Spera, and see, this is what I don't get. some guy on a dragon, but the dragon isn't very big, and neither is the guy. You know? I don't know. I don't remember where he came from. He might have come from Sandman. He might have been briefly seen in Lucifer. That's very weird. As you might expect, they succeed. Give everyone the boot. And at the end, Masakine finds her mom hiding on Lucifer's world. Wah, wah, wah. So, yeah. Let me give me a second here. I need to cough. Now, the second part of the story is very deja vu. Alright? And if you've read Sandman, what I like to call the Lucifer Trade, Season of the Mist, maybe? Is that what it's called? We'll say Season of Mist. Lucifer gave everyone the boot. Now, for some reason, it was a lot easier to give everyone boot in hell, with its multiple entry points, a lot bigger than one planet, various demons, and according to Constantine, various demons that other demons that ruled parts. But it was a lot easier to get people to boot there than in here. I don't know why he's not doing his dirty work. But I didn't really care for the evictions. It was nice to see some creatures. You got to see a little swamp thing. You got to see some big Greek-like god. I want to say Neptune hiding in the water, and then they parted. You got to see Hansel and Gretel. The witch one that eats people. Hansel? That is not sounding right. But, you know, I didn't really care about any of that. It's not like I thought, oh, they were going to lose and die. The best part of this story is the story within a story I like to call A Spider and His Boy. It's about, and I didn't mention it in the summary, but it's about where a boy from our world was kind of messed up because some demon is evicting emotions into his world, and then eventually the boy crosses over, and they have a friendship, and all the while, demon is like me, he's trying to get laid. And the thing is, the demon, he works off, I like this magic, because he worked off emotions, so he'll build shit, taking the memories from the boy when he was actually happy, and then make a slide. Or he'll use all these various emotions, like he eventually tried to kill his mate. Now, why the guy is like a cute spider-looking thing, the woman's all like, ooh, and big, like, looking like she's gonna eat him after they make babies and all that. So, but, and then he tried to create his emotions and sticks and kill her, and of course fails. But the magic, that was pretty creative. I wanna, remember, if I ever talk to Mike, I say this about every show, if I ever talk to such and such, I would ask him, I'm gonna try to remember him, remember to ask. So, where'd you get the idea for that? Because a lot of Lucifer, in case you hadn't noticed, is steeped in mythology. Whether it's Japanese, Christianity, Greek, Norse, or whatever. Like, it's a lot of mythology. And I'm wondering where a demon or a creature like that is in our world, or if he just made it up and combined the two. That'd be cool either way. So, what can I do? What did I put on my notes here? Oh, it was kind of this story was kind of sad because, you know, Lucifer, he's a hard ass, right? But you get to watch all these immortals go. They didn't really do anything. They're kind of living out their lives, maybe occasionally killing people. You know, but Lucifer was like, yeah, you gotta go. And the majority of them were like, alright, it's either we'll go back to Yahweh's creation, or we gotta hide even more, or hide, because you didn't really have to hide in Lucifer's world, as evidenced by the magical centaurs, and then Lucifer himself appearing. But in Yahweh's world, it's like, well, we gotta hide, otherwise, you know, some army or country will kill us, and we can't really do this. Kinda sad. So, but plot and story-wise, this whole trade didn't really move any of that forward. Don't get me wrong. I finished this. I probably started it Sunday and finished it Monday or Tuesday or whatever. And that includes all my note-taking. So it read fast, and it was a fun read. But as opposed to all the other Lucifer titles, it wasn't a deep read, since it added very little, you know. I mean, the two things, mainly the one thing, the one or two things it added was pretty big. Not the Immortals getting the boot, but it's that since God left, as Lucifer pointed out to the angels, his creation is falling apart. I don't know what that means. I know it means the end of his creation, not Lucifer's. But will it affect the old gods and immortals? Because some of them were there before the one thing I hate about the Bible, or that maybe I hate that people get wrong. They say, let there be light. And it's like, all right, but, you know, there were things in the darkness before then. I mean, so it's like, where would the old gods and immortals go? Were they being nothing? That's cool. That, I thought, if the book had ended there, that would have been like a dun dun dun. Oh, shit. Everything's fucking ending. Like, how could it get worse? Everything's ending. But then it ended on Masakine sees her mother. Or no. If I knew more about, I mean, I know a little bit about Masakine's mother since it is Lilith, but I mean, which is bigger? Masakine sees her mom. Yeah, I know. Silence, right? Or the whole creation's about to end. I think creation's is worse. For Masakine, I would say seeing her mom probably is worse, but hey. Now, another highlight of this little story, this trade, and it brings up a very valid point, is when Spira mentions that Lucifer he left out an afterlife and said, like father, like son. Now, as we all know in this story, not in real life, because I don't know what happens when we die. I think I get recycled. They say I need to learn to help people, and every time I bring up, well, I do help them in my own way. And then, your own way doesn't count there, Mark. And then I get sent back. And then it's like, oh, again. Again! Reincarnation's a bitch. Having an old soul sucks. Except that you know everything. And you can see everything before it happens. Hey! But as we all know in the story, God eventually put in an afterlife. Lucifer never did. So I wonder, like, what happens when people die? Do they go to nothing? Do they go to, not the abyss, limbo? Do they get recycled? As I like to call reincarnation, recycled. You know, because matter is neither created nor destroyed. Is a soul considered matter? I don't know. So that's cool. However, that was the highlight. But the most touching part of this story is the lesbian sex. I got that on my mind. You know what's not good? Three ways. Really overrated. I know I mentioned that before, but I don't want to sound girly here. It's not as good. I mean, you're watching two girls kiss and everything. That's all right. Magic is not like a video about you guys. You can see the expression on my face. But, it's not as good as making love with someone you deeply care about and who cares about you. Oh, I say the weirdest shit. It's late, dude. It's like 3 a.m. Alright, so the last touching moment. Aside from having sex with someone you deeply care about, is when Elaine gives Masakine a big old hug. Now, she's shocked, and you see the expression on her face, like, ooh. She has a face like, when people hug me or do something good for me, I'm like, did you just do something good or compliment me? Because I can take negativity, since I'm used to that shit. But I'm like, oh my god, I don't know what to do. Which is probably why some people say I give the weakest hugs, which is true. I'm not used to people touching me. I'm like, don't touch me. I'm like Uncle Jesse, don't touch me. And then I'm always shocked when they do. Well, okay, I don't know what to do. I'm like Mezgine. Why is this human child? Well, I guess she's not a human or much of a child anymore touching me. That's cool. I mean, at first, Mezgine was like only following the orders because of the Morning Star. But Elaine was grateful. I mean, if you look at it this way, Elaine's kind of like Mezgine's niece. It's hard to say whether Mezgine and the Lightbringer are married, but their bond is like them. I don't think you gotta necessarily be married to have that bond. And if you got it, you're kind of like married. You know what I mean? Know what I mean? So my overall Mark Critic score. I don't know how to pronounce my own made-up word. Mark Critic score. I want to guess. It's somewhere between a 3 and a 3.5. Right? Like, if you pick this up, if you know how they say, oh, you could randomly pick up a Sandman trade, and that's all you need. I mean, you know, they're probably full of shit. I guess they're not. Like, if you randomly picked up this Exodus trade, and you didn't read or Lucifer before, you'd probably be like, oh, well, you probably would enjoy it. So, borderline 3, 3.5. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and I've gone crazy. As always, I know that you don't, but I do appreciate the feedback left on iTunes. The next week's pick is for all you alcoholics out there. There's a lot of you. And we'll be called The Alcoholic. Questions, comments, suggestions, email moi at vertigocast@gmail.com. Leave a voicemail at 206-339-6580. Or go to thecomicforums.com. And you can see the links for the news there. And the nice pretty pages that I can't show you because this is an audio. And to see what's coming up, visit vforvertigo.blogspot.com. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/hellsfire. And remember, for the coward, there is no life. For the hero, there is no death.
And like that, he's gone.